Welcome back. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and I'm joined now by several candidates for legislature. The one thing they have in common is the region where this is all taking place, and that's in western Wisconsin, more or less along the I-94 corridor. I'll have each of these candidates describe their district to you in a moment. But as we were saying in the last segment with State Representative Jody Emerson, there are no rookies here. These are people with experience, people with talent, and only because we know each other on a first name basis can I call them grizzled veterans of the meat grinder, and that includes Danielle Johnson, who, you know, again has been active in, you know, Eau Claire circles, and Sarah Yacoub, and Patty Schachner, and Allison Page. Ladies, good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to have you all here. So I'm just going to pick on you each one by one. And what, as I've done with a lot of other races and a lot of other candidates, I just want you to take a moment. You don't need me to rattle off your biography. You can say in a couple of sentences, you know, what area you're running in. So, Patty, let's start with you as a former state senator, from one senator to another. And that, by the way, kids, is what they call senitude. And yeah. Everybody who's ever been in the assembly knows what I'm talking about. So, Senator Schachner, I'm going to defer to you first.
Thank you, Pat. And thanks for having us here today. The area I am hoping to represent is District 28, which has been gerrymandered to include all of Polk County, Star Prairie Township, the village of Somerset, and most of the city of New Richmond. My biography is, over 30 years of community service in emergency services, from being an EMT to a death investigator, which I currently still do. I think my strongest point is in the people that I serve through the work of emergency services. I've not once ever been asked how I voted, nor have I ever asked how they voted. I just serve.
All right. Thanks, Patty. And Allison Page, tell us about the district you're running in.
Yeah. Hi, I'm running to represent the 93rd Assembly District, which has been involves a little bit of remapping with the most recent mapping that's been done. So it now includes Pierce County, the part of River Falls that is in Pierce County, so Division Street and South, all the way down to Maiden Rock, and then over to the east, Menominee and Eau Claire, but doesn't include those cities, just kind of skirts the south of Menominee, the south of Eau Claire. So down includes Maiden Rock, Durand, Ellsworth, Prescott, River Falls, and those communities. Lots of rural area. Yeah. My background, I've worked in healthcare my entire life, starting as a clinician and for the past 25 years in administration. Most recently, people would know me as the CEO of Western Wisconsin Health, which I just retired from in February. And my other work, aside from my work life, has been on things that benefit children, education, and the environment. So excited about the opportunity.
All right. And Danielle Johnson, hi. Tell us about the district.
Hi. I am running in the 29th district. So that goes from the on the west, Hammond, Baldwin area, all the way through the vast majority of Menominee on the east, and kind of north to Clear Lake. So a lot of rural area as well, which is where my heart is, absolutely. So I am a veterinarian. I've always worked in small towns. I've owned a veterinary clinic in Baldwin for the past 11 years or so. I have served on the board of Western Wisconsin Health for the past 7 years or so. So I've, as soon as I started my practice in Baldwin, it was a big deal to me to give back to the community through volunteerism, through participation in our business and community events. And I think wanting to serve in Madison and represent the 29th district is just an extension of my desire to serve the community.
And Sarah Yacoub goes last because she has the most unusual district. It's one that doesn't look like most, because apparently in that one alone, for the longest time, you could be the incumbent and not live in the district. But regardless, you're still trying to challenge Shannon Zimmerman. So tell us more about that, Sarah.
Yes. So the 30th Assembly District goes all the way up to the northern border of St. Croix County with the town of Somerset. We go as far east as the town of Richmond and Erin Prairie. We don't include Hammond. They gerrymandered Hammond out, but we do include Pleasant Valley, Rush River, and O'Galley. And then to the south, we have a little nugget of Pierce County, and that allows Shannon Zimmerman to stop committing voter and election fraud to live outside of the 30th Assembly District. So should he win, which I hope he does not, he can start being a lawful human being.
Ah, that whole living in the district works well when you can draw yourself in.
Yes.
It is. Look, I'll be the first to admit it is rather inside baseball when you talk about district lines. But I at least appreciate when people ask why they're so convoluted, because then we get to say, oh, here's why. They were not always this goofy, where they, you know, cut across counties and cut across towns and things like that. And Patty, you know as well as anybody serving in the legislature that, you know, in a minority role, you watch this, you want to tell voters all about it. But, you know, they also have their own concerns they want to deal with, not so much the mischief that's being made in the Capitol these days.
Yeah, the maps are really an interesting situation, really, when you think about it. And I look at my community. I'm born and raised in Somerset and have lived here my whole life. But the township of Somerset and the village of Somerset potentially will have two different representatives. So, you know, in the small picture, people are like, oh, that doesn't matter. But in the big picture, that's a huge deal, because it is one community with two representatives, and possibly the two representatives aren't on the same page, which means then nobody gets anything done. And that seems to be what's going on throughout the state and many communities.
Essentially, it's built in gridlock. But as I mentioned, Allison, we are dealing with voters who want to know what you're going to do for them, less, you know, what has happened in the past. What are the concerns that you're hearing from voters, and how does that jive with your priorities if elected?
What I'm hearing from people is they're pretty sick and tired of elected officials not getting work done. We expect our legislature and our state government to work for us, and it's not working for us. The pandemic's been a clear example of that. Our local governments, our organizations, our schools, our hospitals did not get the help and the support that they needed from our state legislature. The governor was willing. Our Department of Health is second to none, but our state legislature did not act. So I think people are frustrated by that. They really don't care as much about Republicans and Democrats, as they do about, are we getting stuff done and is it meeting my needs? Then the whole reproductive health thing, bridge too far. I think that has people are very concerned about that this is an infringement on their basic freedoms, and people aren't having it.
So to get back to the pandemic, Danielle, when you're talking to constituents, do you find that there's still this need to almost relitigate safeguards and things, because there's been this right-wing mindset so ingrained that, you know, the safeguards were too far and harmful? Or have people move past that now and have other issues on their minds when you talk to them?
You know, I honestly think people have moved past that to a large degree. I'm not hearing things like that, but it does exemplify what people, even though they're not addressing the COVID response specifically, they are definitely fed up with the division. That comes up very often, where people are tired of people on one side and people on the other, and that there's no in-between problem solving. And that is really something that I think we talk about a lot when I'm at doors, is that the division between left and right is largely manufactured. And the fact of the matter is that we have way more in common than we have differences. And it really doesn't take much time for us to find that common ground. And that's where the problem solving lies, is finding where our common ground is and having rational discussion about it.
And Sarah, there appears to be more common ground than ever between Democratic leaning and Republican leaning women or just others who look at the Dobbs decision and say, this is no longer a choice matter. This really is a matter of privacy. And your district certainly is one where we're going to be looking to see if that trend holds true, much like what we saw in Kansas. What's your sense?
Absolutely. Well, you know, as long as Roe v. Wade was law of the land, there was sort of the freedom or the comfort, if you will, to lean into other issues, other priorities. The second the Dobbs decision came down, given the inaction of our legislature, I mean, they cared so little about a law written in 1849 that dictates our access to healthcare that they gaveled in and out of special session in 14 seconds. This issue I'm hearing from people on the doors is very personal, whether you're male, female, transgendered. It's amazing, different age groups. It's amazing how this issue affects people on such a personal level. So I do think we're gonna see people come out and vote like they haven't voted before.
Patty, does it get a lot of traction when we talk about the numerous times that the Republican legislators have either gaveled in and gaveled out special sessions on serious matters and taken these 9-10 month paid vacations over the last couple of years? Does that resonate at all?
Well, I think that doing a Republican versus a Democrat type thing does not work. What people want to hear is the facts. So I looked at my opponent and I actually went through her legislative page and went through her legislative calendar. And through 21 and 22, she actually was working on policy in the Capitol 109 days through 21-22. That is over $1,100 a day that she got paid plus mileage. People will take a look at that. For $1,100 a day, you better have gotten some work done. As a legislator in the majority party, she only has a 10% effective rate. All of us have worked in business and know that if we had employees that were only 10% effective, we wouldn't keep them. But for some reason, our electors don't pay attention to that because they've never been told. So now we have to figure out how to educate our electors and say, you need to do a job evaluation of your electors and see if they're working for you as hard as you are working to make sure that you have the right things for your family.
And Patty, your Republican incumbent is?
Gay Magnifici.
Okay. And we talked about Sarah running against Shannon Zimmerman. Danielle, your Republican opponent?
Clint Moses.
Okay. And Allison?
Warren Petrick.
Okay. So just wanted to know so that people, again, it would be, I'm not going to use district numbers because it's something that catches people off. The lines have all changed. So I figure if you have just heard of all of these women and you see one of those names on the ballot, you're going to learn a lot about them in this hour and beyond and understand from all of them what the values are that guide the service that they would bring to a legislature that maybe would work for a living, if we change the composition a bit more. More with them after this. You're up north.